Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him, and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I am as you are, my people as your people. We will join you in the war." But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Go," they answered, "for God will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." "The king should not say that," Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once." Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones by the threshing floor, by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Chananah, had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. "Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious," they said, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hands." Messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can only tell him what my God gives me to say." When he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "and they will be given into your hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?" Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you." Then Zedekiah, son of Chananah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you?" he asked. Micaiah replied, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room." The king of Israel then ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'This is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely.'" Micaiah declared, "If you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added, "Mark my words, all you people." And then there's the battle against the Syrians and Jehoshaphat and Ahab going to battle. Ahab disguises himself as an ordinary soldier so as not to draw fire and leaves Jehoshaphat dressed as a king, hoping that everyone will go and fire their arrows at him. But as the armies come closer, they see that Jehoshaphat is not the king of Israel. And so they back off, and a stray arrow goes between the breastplate of Ahab and his leaf armor. So right here, between the chest and the shoulder. And he's propped up in his chariot all day, but then dies. And so ends the rule of one of the worst the worst monarchs in human history, probably. The story of Ahab and the story of Jehoshaphat and their interaction with Micaiah and the other prophets is a story about integrity and indulgence. Jehoshaphat wants to do the right thing. Jehoshaphat has a tendency towards indulgence himself. It's very difficult to be a king or to be an American without a tendency towards indulgence. I mean, basically, we live like kings now. And so having things handed to us the way that we have them means that we tend to think that that's our right, and it's the life that we expect. And so certainly Jehoshaphat and Ahab had a similar life to you and I. And so they had a tendency towards self-indulgence. The difference between Jehoshaphat and Ahab was that Ahab had no integrity within him, but Jehoshaphat did. He did have the same tendency towards indulgence, but within him, he had a heart that was orientated towards God. And so he was looking for something that would ensure that he would make the right decisions in life and that he would follow the right course of action. Micaiah was exactly the same kind of person, except that he probably didn't have the same temptations towards indulgence because he was a largely an ordinary person. And certainly he had no opportunities for indulgence when he was in prison eating bread and water. But Micaiah is similar. You see, he could have indulged the king. He could have said to the king, yeah, absolutely, it's exactly what Zedekiah is saying over here and all of these other 400 prophets. Or he could have told him the truth. And he told him the truth. The truth panned out as he predicted it would. And he was proved to be a man of integrity and is recorded in Scripture as such. One of the ways to think about integrity is to think about it in the way that sometimes the Hebrew uses it in a kind of a word picture. The way that the word integrity is referred to in the heart of, say, someone like David, is that his heart always strikes the same note when it's struck. So integrity means that when something strikes at the very heart of you, there is a predictable response that is always the same and that is always something that takes you back to the Lord and your relationship with him. And so the word picture that appears to be used in the Hebrew is that your heart is like a bell. And if you strike your heart, it should ring with the same note. Now, you know, all of us have got tendencies towards monarchy because we live in a world where, you know, you raise your daughters as princesses and your sons as princes. But that self-indulgence can be mitigated by the presence of integrity. And integrity can only be found in our relationship with the Lord. The unswerving decision of Jehoshaphat and Micaiah is to seek the Lord even in the face of obvious reward for not doing so. Obvious reward for not seeking the Lord was no reason for them not to seek the Lord. And the reason they sought the Lord was because their heart was orientated towards God. And therefore, they had a heart of integrity. For me personally, I ask the Lord to give me a heart of integrity because I know the temptations that there are to have a different kind of heart. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you today that you would give us a heart that would ring with a pure note. That, Lord, our heart would be resounding with the same tones. Lord, we pray that our heart would always be tuned to you and turned towards you. And Lord, even when we stray and find that our own indulgences lead us from the path that you've set for us, Lord, we pray that you would quickly draw us back again. And we ask you, Lord, that the distance and the time between us straying from the path and walking closely with you again would shorten. And we pray, Lord, that that would be the mark of our lives, and it would be the integrity that you find there and that others find there. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.